Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I'm sorry, I had a mask on. I couldn't talk.
Dude, are you excited to talk more stringy Jim Carrey?
I am, and for what it's worth, I think he's a lot less stringy in this movie, which I could only assume is a live-action remake of the Goosebumps book, The Haunted Mask.
If you guys haven't figured it out yet, you are listening to the teaser trailer episode, and this week, we're discussing the 1994 comedy film, The Mask, starring Jim Carrey and a fresh out of modeling school, Cameron Diaz.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Modeling school is a thing?
I could be incorrect on the school part. She might have just been fresh out of modeling. Professionally. I don't know.
I feel we'll get like on that.
If I'm wrong, I'll correct it on the full episode.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to joke at how silly the idea of modeling school is. But I've heard the phrase modeling school.
Now turn to the left, blue steel.
Yeah, modeling school is a thing.
So. I heard she can't turn right.
Yeah, I heard she can't turn on a microwave. Chung ching.
So I want to thank you guys, as always, for hitting the download button on today's episode. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. That is the best way to help support the show and keep these podcasts coming one after another. Also, take a second to thank our sponsor, Bunny 17 Media, who helped bring you this podcast completely free. Go over to their site now, Bunny 17 Media. Use promo code BACKINTIME at checkout, and you save yourself 15%. So, JD, 1994, we're 9 years old. What is your first memory of The Mask?
Gosh, I'm trying to think. Okay, 9 years old, that would put us at, like, what, fourth grade?
Okay, yep, sounds about right.
Yeah, so, you know, talking 9 years old, looking at fourth grade, I know, again, I probably sound so underprivileged. This was not a movie that I saw in theaters.
Okay.
I remember being on the schoolyard and coming back from the weekend and listening to all the kids quoting the movie, running around in their oversized yellow suits that they all had bought on Sunday after watching the movie on Saturday, and thinking, my goodness, I wish I knew what the hell they were talking about. I was not till months down the road that I remember going to Blockbuster, picking it up, popping it in, and, you know, watching it on the old VCR. I want to say I probably watched it many times with my little brother. Jesse is probably about three at that time, and he probably watched. I feel like this is a movie that he watched on repeat. Like, it would end, he would hit the rewind button, then hit the play button, and he would sit there for hours.
It's such a chore to have to rewind your movie. We're so spoiled now.
Perfect for bathroom breaks, though, you know? It's like, okay, I finished. I want to watch it again. I'm going to hit rewind. Or you ejected it from the VCR, and you took it to the special rewinding devices that were once available.
Oh, yeah, we had one of those for a while until it broke.
I had an uncle that had one that was in the shape of a car, because he liked cars.
Yep.
So he had a car rewinder to rewind his VHS tapes.
Okay.
Have we talked about the first time that you ever watched a DVD? Have we discussed that?
We haven't, but I want to save that story for the Con Air episode, because that's the first movie I ever saw.
The only point that I want to make is I want to ask, did you try to rewind the DVD?
Yes. I could not figure out how to get back to the start.
Me too. Hey, audience. Those of you that are old enough to remember the switch from VHS to DVD, did you try to rewind your first DVD? Because Kyle and JD certainly were stupid enough to do that.
I know if I go through my dad's DVD collection, I can pinpoint the first two movies he bought. It's Con Air and it's one other movie. And Con Air is the first movie I ever saw on DVD, which is why I'm so in love with that movie. It was so crystal clear compared to VHS.
I thought that story was going into a totally different direction, talking about your dad's private DVD collection, but, you know, totally different episode there as well.
Now, one thing I remember about The Mask, I don't know if I saw this in theater. I feel like I might have, because there was a lot of schoolyard talk about this movie. I do remember that. But there was a birthday party that I went to probably in 95 after it was out on VHS. And it was a kid down the street from us. And I remember we all sat down and watched The Mask. Then we went in the back and we all acted like idiots trying to recreate the movie. But that is a memory that is, for some reason, stuck in my head, that I saw this at a birthday party sometime in 95.
More so than that time you stumbled upon your dad's illicit secret porno collection?
Yes. Hmm. Also stuck in my head. Damn it. Can't also get it
stuck,
out.
Also stuck in your head the time he invited you onto his lap to watch it? I'm sorry, that was The Rock. My bad. I'm confusing movies here.
Okay. So let's go ahead and fire up the trailer, because we're doing teaser trailer episode. If you're by a computer or you have access to watch it, go on the YouTube. Just type in The Mask original trailer. You'll be looking for the one titled The Mask 1994 official trailer, Jim Carrey movie. Floated by Movie Clips Classic Trailers. It has about 130,000 views on it. I'll give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown, and we will watch this together. JD, are you ready?
Chicken tetrazzini.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was Italian for yes.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Here we go. 3, 2, 1
69. Click.
This is the story of Stanley Ipkiss.
Stanley, you are the nicest guy. Really, you are.
Yeah. His job is at the bank.
You're 40 minutes late. Now, that's the same as stealing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dickey. It'll never happen again.
He loves his dog.
Come on, give him to me. Drop it.
He's polite to his landlord.
Ipkiss, do you have any idea what time it is?
You know, Mrs. Payman.
What?
And the most exciting thing in his life are his pajamas. But now...
Hey, you! What are you doing down there? I'm just looking for my mask!
All that is about to change. Because Stanley Ipkiss is not the man he used to be.
Spoken!
Like it brings your innermost desires to life. You become some sort of love-crazy wild man.
I want him here tomorrow, alive.
Now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Do ya? Punks?
Jim Carrey is...
That's the guy!
Hello!
The Mask.
Ooh, somebody stop me!
All right, JD, you're up first. What'd you think of the trailer?
Yeah, this is definitely a trailer that got 9-year-old me very excited to see a movie about a stringy comedian in a green mask making sexual advances while wearing said mask on a young lady. I am very glad that we got to see a little shot at Dorian. He's probably one of my all-time favorite film villains. This guy he's evil. This guy's just a son of a bitch.
I have a couple notes. One, he's very stringy in this trailer. It was more stringy than I was expecting.
Agreed. Two, totally agreed.
two, he's with animals again. He does a great job with animals, as we saw in Ace Ventura, in our archives. Shameless plug. And three, the movie, it definitely put off a very kid-friendly vibe, from the voiceover guy to the cheesy soundtrack to, you know, even at the end, like when they pop up the credits, it like spins around. It's, I don't know. It seemed a little carnival-ish to me, the music.
Yeah, good, great way of putting it. Very carnivalistic, carnivale.
Which Jim Carrey fits right into the circus, so it's actually kind of fitting for him.
So, okay, so quick question, and maybe you're going to hit on this later, but this is based on an existing comic property, right?
I don't know. We're going to get into that more in the full review. I know, okay. I have some notes on it, but I haven't gone through them fully yet.
Jump in the stringy gun there. My bad.
Now, let's talk some box office numbers here. So The Mask debuts at the box office on July 29th, 1994. It's distributed by New Line Cinema with a runtime of 97 minutes and a production budget of $23 million, a little higher than I expected. The Mask opened to 2,360 screens and debuted number one at the box office that week, bringing in $23 million, recouping all of its budget in week one. In week two, they would drop to the number two spot and bring in another $15.2 million over the weekend, bringing their 10-day total to $52 million. JD, do you think the schoolyard effect was in play here, and are you surprised at all by the numbers?
I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not surprised by the numbers. We're looking at not a massively budgeted movie, but we're looking at a great effort of the studio to put out a film. Like you said, it's the trailer is directed right at kids. Like, we're looking at a stringy Jim Carrey bouncing around, having fun. Like, there's nothing not to love of this movie from anybody that's aged 6 to probably 15. And, you know, mind you, movies were directed differently at audiences back in the 90s than they are now. You think about like a movie. How old's your kid now?
5.
Would you let him watch The Mask?
Yes. I was actually trying to buy it so we could watch it together.
Well, you just Swiss cheesed my argument. I was going to say, I don't necessarily think that modern parents would be excited to throw their kids into a theater to watch this movie. But as I'm going about really long-winded way of saying that I do think the schoolyard effect was in play. I'm not saying that it's jumped massively, but I think it rode the waves.
Okay, great. And you would be correct. The schoolyard effect was in play. The Mask would stay in the top 5 for 8 weeks and in the top 10 for 10 consecutive weeks, bringing in a domestic total of about $120 million. In addition, and this really surprised me, I didn't know Jim Carrey had this international audience, $231 million internationally. Let that sink in for a second. So that brings their worldwide box office total to $351,583,407.
Yeah, that bought a studio had a new yacht.
Somebody definitely had a very good Christmas bonus, that's for sure. So they rolled the dice on Jim Carrey. It pays off big time. Now, real quick, if you remember last week's episode, in our archives, we talk about The Rock, which had a budget of $75 million, grossed $330. So The Mask does better than The Rock on a third of the budget. Pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, I definitely think that's impressive, especially when you think traditionally action movies are going to outperform, you know, a lot of their counterparts because they just make more sense. I mean, comedy is very subjective to the audience. And I would have thought that Jim Carrey was a very American type flavor in terms of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And this is on the heels of Ace Ventura: Pet Detective. So this came out right after. So maybe that helped a little bit. I know we covered Ace Ventura. The numbers were not as good. This was actually the 9th highest grossing movie of the year. Ace Ventura was the 16th. So we had a couple big hits.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I mean, listen to our Ace Ventura episode. Ace Ventura is a movie that holds up. That's a great effing story. Yep. The Mask, it's The Mask starring Jim Carrey.
Now let's jump into some top 10 movies of the week for July 29th, 1994. And we have got a full list of great movies here. Number one was The Mask. Number two, Forrest Gump. Number three, True Lies. Number four, The Client. Number five, The Lion King. Number six, It Could Happen to You. Number seven, future episode, Angels in the Outfield. Number eight, in our archives, Speed. Nine, Lassie. And number 10, Black Beauty. JD, any standouts for you in the top 10?
That's some stiff competition that week. Obviously, True Lies is going to be a future episode. We get some great Tom Arnold action in that movie. Angels in the Outfield. I'm surprised that performed as well as it did. I will look forward to seeing what the numbers were for that.
Well, it was at seven, so it wasn't real high on the list, and I think it was only like week two.
I'm not trying to degrade that movie at all. That's a movie that I didn't see when I was young. I saw when I was a little bit older. But you know, it's a great piece of 90s movie there. But I mean, we have Lion King in the mix. We have Lassie. I mean, this is a competitive week.
Here, just to give you an idea of how competitive, the top 10 list I just gave you, here's the top 10 movies in 1994 domestically. Forrest Gump, The Lion King, True Lies are 1, 2, and 3 on the list. Speed and The Mask are 8 and 9. That's 5 out of the top 10 that were the 10 highest grossing movies of the year.
Yeah, that's a great outpouring of movies that came out in like one clump there. So congrats to any time travelers in the future that are looking for a year and a month to go see movies. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Serve it up to you on a platter and then give us your technology and your wallet.
Another shameless plug. Check out our Halloween episode where we talk about Jamie Lee Curtis, but True Lies. Go ahead and YouTube True Lies, Jamie Lee Curtis. Strip. That's all you have to type. Hit enter. You're welcome.
Oh yeah, that's the scene that my very first pube whooped from my body. I was way too young for it, but it was just my testosterone was like, hey, I'm a factor in your life now. You are witnessing this. You get one pube.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me so much of Wayne's World 2, where Garth's like, you didn't tell him about my pubes, did you? Let's talk some critic and audience response for the film. We're going to use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of the audience and critics here. So just to confirm, JD does not have these numbers up front. This is all off the top of his head. It's one of my favorite segments here. Let's see if he can put together the puzzle. He was pretty good last week on the critic side. JD, how do you think the critics responded to The Mask?
You know, the last few movies that we've done, I've been lacking the confidence in my predictions. And I am trying to put myself back in 1994. I'm trying to think of how an adult, a journalist, is going to sit down and they're going to watch with a straight face. And they're going to say, all right, Jim Carrey, Cameron Diaz, the asshole that plays Dorian, let's see what you guys can do. And they're going to have watched a movie that was funny. It's very comical. I think that there's a lot of ingenuity to be had. The comedy breaks the fourth wall on a few occasions. The story is sincere. I know that traditionally comedies are hit or miss with critics. They're either going to take the comedy and they're going to love it for what it is, but try to get the subtext out of it. And I'm not certain that there's a lot of subtext to be had in this movie. Okay. So I want to say that the critics probably were harsh on this, but at the same time, we're talking about a Jim Carrey that is fresh enough in his career where his shtick hasn't worn out its welcome yet. So I'm torn between thinking that the critics respond positively to Jim Carrey, and then I feel like some critics were probably like, this is way too juvenile for me. But it's not fart joke juvenile. It's just like you said earlier, it's very kiddie, very carnival, very circus. I'm gonna say 65% for the critics.
Okay. What about the audience?
I want to say the audience, again, we're looking at a lot of parents that are probably like, okay, Jim Carrey's funny. This is a movie that seems decent for my kids. It's not vulgar. We're not talking about a bunch of nonstop sexual innuendos. It's a very nostalgic movie for a lot of people. You know, again, this is when we get to see Jim Carrey coming into his own. We get to see a lot of his capabilities as a performer, and we get to see a lot of the comic and cartoon values that I think people really responded to positively in the 90s. So I want to say that I feel that the audience probably came to vote with a happier heart, and I want to say 75%.
Okay. If you flip the two, you'd be almost dead on.
Son of a bitch.
The critics gave it 77%, and the audience scored 67%.
No, you're pulling my leg. How the critics came out higher than the audience on this?
They really like Jim Carrey. Shit. The shtick had not run out on stringy Jim Carrey yet. Let's hear from a couple of them. They're not all great, but the first one kind of craps on it. Janet Maslin of the New York Times gave the film 2 out of 5 stars and said, "Bright-eyed, crazily intense, irrepressibly silly. Mr. Carrey can be funny without fireworks. He deserves material clever enough to let him do just that." Thoughts on Janet Maslin?
Okay, I think that's a very mature adult response to this movie. Where, you know, you're applauding his performance, but you're acknowledging that the material that he got may not have been the best.
Stephen Rea of the Philadelphia Inquirer gave the film 2.5 out of 4 stars and said, "When his face turns green and his limbs get limber, Carrey's pretty much unstoppable. The cartoony creation is an amazing fusion of physical comedy and state-of-the-art cinema illusion." Boy, this movie has not aged well based off of the trailer. But what'd you think of Mr. Reyes' comments?
Jeez, it sounds like he would have given that. That sounds like a perfect review of it. Like,
yeah.
So what didn't you like about it, sir?
Probably the fact that it's for kids and he's an adult. That would be my guess.
Well, he's an asshole.
Yeah. Screw him. Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars and said, "The Mask is the perfect vehicle for the talents of Jim Carrey, who underwhelmed me with Ace Ventura Pet Detective, but here seems to have found a story and character that work with manic energy." I think that's pretty much spot on, although I disagree about Ace Ventura. I think he's amazing in that, more so than The Mask.
I'm with you on that. I definitely think that in terms of my nostalgia factor, Ace Ventura stands out more than The Mask does. But I think that's a spot on review by him. And we've disagreed with him in the past, but when he's right, he's right. He's right now.
Go. So when we jump into the full review on Wednesday, JD, what are you looking forward to most when we cover The Mask?
I really want to pay special attention to the story itself, beyond just the shtick that Jim Carrey is, beyond the visual effects that, you know, The Mask gives to the character that possesses the mask, whether it be human, Dorian, or dog. You know, I'm hoping to be able to take a deep dive into a lot of the subtexts of this movie that I'm assuming is there, but I just don't really remember.
I am interested in the story as well, because I've only seen this from the eyes of my 9-10-year-old self. So I'm interested to see what I think of it now at 32. It's been at least 22 years since I've watched 1 second of this movie. So that should be fun. And you guys make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. All full episodes are up there. Also Google Play, YouTube, and just give us a quick rate and review. That's going to help us grow the podcast. We're also on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Everything is at Back in Time Pod. You can find us online, backintimepod.wordpress.com. And you can email us, backintimepodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us a message. Let us know, you know, what you think of the show, what you want us to review. You know, maybe we'll let you pick a poll topic for us. Who knows? But for now, it's that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll be back with a full review on Wednesday. See ya.
Stringy Jim Carrey masked comedy generic comments.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Phantom Dark Dave, and I want to tell you about my new show, Dave's Pop Culture Podcast. So everybody knows me as a horror buff, but did you know I like so many different things? I like science fiction, comic books, cartoons. What better way than to express myself than a podcast that can pretty much talk about anything? You're going to have interviews, run-throughs, general conversations. So if you want to do something a little out of the ordinary and have something interesting all in the same, come check me out, Dave's Pop Culture Podcast.